Say it with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Tonight, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to church on the rock, my faith gets stronger and stronger. Give God your best shout. Hallelujah. Wow, I am so excited about tonight's teaching. I'm so excited about tonight's service and what God has already done, what He's doing right now. We serve a faithful God. You know, I'm thinking of the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It says, faithful is He who called you. Faithful is He that will do it. Boy, we serve a great God tonight, church. I'm excited about this series on faithfulness. I have already given you an introduction, but we're celebrating all month, all through the month of October, for our weekend, our vision weekend, our anniversary weekend, the first weekend of November. We celebrate 34 years. You know, it's something to come and go. It's something to be temporary. Temporary success doesn't excite me. Quick growth, you know, I don't want quick growth because quick growth is hard to maintain. I like to look at someone's track record. I like to look at, you know, their tenure, their track record, their platform, and that's what inspires me. I really like to look around at pastor friends that I have who are the same age as me, and they've been pastoring about the same time, and their churches are like our church. They're still moving forward. You see, if you just stay the same, you're growing because, you know, people move. They're transit today more than ever before. People are leaving your church. They're moving away. They're passing away or whatever. And we live in a more fluid society than ever before. So if you can just maintain the same, you're growing. But thank God we're not maintaining a church on the rock. We're moving forward for the glory of God. We're moving the kingdom forward for the glory of God. So we're celebrating and we're looking at the faithfulness of God. And in our church, He's been so faithful. 3 decades. You know, we've seen a lot of change. When you're going through change, and we're all going through change tonight, right? You know, we're all going through change. We're all going through different seasons. You know, for Kim and I, you know, this is a very exciting time because Stephen, our youngest son, is getting married to Jessica right here in our own church in a couple of weeks. In fact, our anniversary weekend of our church, they're getting married that weekend. Our youngest son, Stephen, and Jessica, and we're so excited. But that's a new season for Kim and I because, you know, Stephen has been living at home for all these years, and now we're going through the empty nest. You know, here we are in our 60s, and we're going, yeah, praise God. God's faithful. He's faithful. So whatever season you're going through, Kim and I are getting ready to go through the empty nest. Whatever season you're going through tonight, I just want to encourage you, God is faithful. And so let's look at it. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Let's look at our foundational text and verse 9. By the way, I sure do love you, and I sure do love Wednesday nights. I sure do love being with you. You know, relationships are so important, aren't they? Actually, you know, we need corporate setting, and then we need small groups. We need corporate setting, and we need small groups, actually, to grow and become strong in God. That's why on Sunday morning, we have small groups in our North Campus, and I just encourage you to plug into a small group. We have a men's Bible study every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. You know, there are a few men that get together. They got a curriculum they're going through. And I encourage you guys, you might want to sign up and be a part. It runs for a few weeks of the curriculum, and you might want to plug into that small group. But the main thing is we want to be growing, right? So look what he says. Know, therefore, that the Lord, capital letters, the Lord. And what that means is, you know, when you say the Lord, it encompasses all of his attributes. We are to know and understand and recognize the attributes of God. We are to know. That's why I'm teaching on this one attribute this whole month of our 34-year celebration at Church on the Rock. To God be all the glory. We're to know them. We're to recognize them every day. That means you're to declare it and decree it. If you're going through a bad day, say today, Wednesday, it's been a bad day for you. You know what? Don't end the day without looking at the faithfulness of God and declaring, you know, God, I may have missed it today. God, I may have been unfaithful. I may have failed you, but God, I repent. And God, you are an unfailing God. God, you are an unfailing God. And even though I failed you, you won't fail me. Even though today I was unfaithful, didn't want to be God, but I was. I tripped up, God. I repent. I'm back in the game. I'm in, God. I'm on track, God. And I declare, because of your faithfulness, you're the God of a second chance. You never give up on me. That's how you do that. That's how you work this verse. See, it's one thing to read it. It's another way to know how to apply it. It's one thing to say, well, I know he's faithful, but are you applying it? You apply it that way. You apply it. He says, know and understand that the Lord is God. And the Lord there is a reference to his attributes. Everyone say attributes. It's a reference to the attributes of God. It's knowing his attributes get you through crisis. It's knowing his attributes gets you through crisis. You know, I'm thinking right now of, I just mentioned that Stephen, our youngest, he's on staff here. He works in the youth department. Getting married to Jessica in a couple of weeks. And I'm excited about that. And it's the same weekend of our church anniversary. And, you know, I go all the way back. I reflect. I remember. I look at the faithfulness of God. That when Stephen, you know, we planted this church in November of 1983. Stephen was born in February of 1984. And when he was born, many of you know the story, he was a premature, and the doctor even told me that night that he was born, don't worry about tonight, you guys have gone through a whole lot, he's not going to make it through the night, don't even worry about the birth certificate and the name, that's what he told me, don't even worry about the name, he's not going to make it throughout the night. Well, you know, that was a crisis. You know, we had just planted this church. We had 35 people that we planted with in the library of St. Peter's. 35 people originally got together, wanted a church like this. And we were going through a financial stress. A lot of our friends thought we were crazy. We were in a cult. They had kind of left our world. Our own parents thought we were crazy. So, you know, it was really a stressful time. And finances, and we had no insurance because we left our denomination. And in the natural, it looked like a major crisis. Here they're saying that our newborn son isn't going to live. Well, during that time, you know what? We had to look at the attributes of God. That he was Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth us. And so we cried out to him, you know, God, you sent us here. God, you called us to come here and plant a church, plant a family, one life, one place, one life, one place, make it great. That's what he told us. One life, one place, make it great. Dedicate your life to St. Peter's, Missouri, and the people here in St. Louis. One life, one place, make it great. And you know, through that crisis, you know what got us through? Was looking at the attributes of God. The same thing will work for you tonight. So again, he says, know therefore that the Lord your God, he's God. And then he brings out a specific attribute. He's the faithful God. And I told you earlier in my introduction that faithfulness in the Hebrew, it means to prop, to prop. Wow, is your life shaky tonight? Man, we want to be strong in a shaky world, don't we? With everything that's going on, my goodness, the massacre in Las Vegas. You know, we were just out there 2 weeks before with our team at a church conference. We were right there in that area. And just to think about that, what's going on in North Korea, the hurricanes, what's happening in Puerto Rico, you know, in Texas and Florida, and the recovery in the coast, and all that's going on, and the earthquakes in Mexico City. Oh, my goodness. Everything that can be shaken is being shaken. That's why, wasn't it awesome, you know, wasn't it awesome this last weekend to have Sean McDowell with us to talk about, you know, apologetics and how to defend our faith and how to be strong and pass on Christianity to the next generation? Amazing. So you and I want to be unshakable in a world that's shaking, rattling, and rolling, to quote the theologian Chuck Berry. Okay? All right. Know ye therefore the Lord your God, he's God, the faithful God. He keeps his covenant and mercy with them that love him. And he keeps his commandments to 1,000 generations. Oh my goodness, that's our God. You know, I gave you the illustration of last Wednesday night about the faithfulness of God. And I said, you know, in a couple of weeks, in fact, it's this week, you know, it's this week, it's tomorrow, that Kim and I are celebrating our 44th wedding anniversary, 44 years. And you know, in those 44 years, you know, Kim has been faithful to me. I know she has. No extramarital affairs, no flirting, no this, that, and other with other guys. You know, all these years, 44 years. And same way with me, you know, in the ministry, thanks be to God, no adultery. I didn't run off with the organist. Praise God, I'm not going to run off with Josh. Hallelujah. You know, I didn't run off with an organist. I didn't run off with a secretary. There's no, are we perfect? No. But no extramarital affairs. I've been faithful to her. She's been faithful to me. Now, this is no knock on anybody. You know, I know we live in a different world. But when we got married 44 years ago, she was a virgin. I was a virgin. I've only had sex with one lady, her. She's only had sex with one man, me. We've been faithful. We've been faithful. But yet, you know, even though we've been so faithful to each other, we still are unfaithful to each other. Even though we've been faithful, faithful to raise our children and now our grandchildren, and thanks be to God, they're all serving the Lord. They're all involved in the church. We give God all the praise for that. And we've been faithful to one another. I don't know how much more faithful I can be to her and her to me. But in the midst of it, I've been unfaithful. I failed her. Pastor, I gave you the illustration just right off the top of my head. The other day when I was at the grocery store picking up groceries, she said, you know, get this, get that. And by the way, Dave, stop by Starbucks and get me an iced green tea, unsweetened, a Trenta. Got it, sweetheart. Got it. Got it. Make it happen. Got home, taking the groceries out, put them in the fridge. She said, Dave, where's my tea? I said, I forgot it. So what did I do? I failed her. I was unfaithful. She counted on me. She was trusting me. She was depending on me. She wanted that iced green tea from Starbucks. But yet I, is trying as hard as I can, I still was unfaithful. Now, why do I say that? You and I should not expect, you know, people around us, family and friends, to be perfect in their faithfulness. That's too much pressure. In other words, you know what I'm saying? Get your eyes off people. And we got to get our eyes on God, because he's the only one who is unfailing. He's the only one. He's an unfailing God. Well, I don't go to church anymore because that Christian promised me this and they broke their promise. Folks, we've all had that happen. Well, I went into business with another brother, another sister, and they wronged me, and they cheated me, and they promised me this, they promised me that, and they broke their word, so I'm never coming back to church. Well, see, you're letting their unfaithfulness rob you of your potential, of your destiny, of God's best for you. Get your eyes off their unfaithfulness, and get your eyes on the faithfulness of God. As much as we all try, that's why I share that illustration. We don't want to break our word. We don't want to be unfaithful. None of us do. But we're human. We're flesh. We're not perfect. We're on a journey. So you and I, what do we want to do? If we're going to be strong, if we're going to be unshakable in a shaking world, if we're going to finish strong, if we're going to finish well, if we're going to do all that God wants us to do, our focus has to be on the faithfulness of Almighty God. Amen. Amen. Give God a big hand clap, would you? Praise the Lord. Now, Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. And look with me here at verses 17, and we're going to read all the way through to verse 21. And what I want you to see in this, please don't miss this. This is where we left off last week. So powerful is I want you to see what this will do for you and me. See, you might be here tonight. You say, Pastor, my life is up and down. I can solve that. Pastor, you know, one day I'm up, one day I'm down. I can fix that. Pastor, you know, I'm a manic depressive. It's passed on from generation. We can cure that. Pastor, you know, I've lost all my joy. I'm spiritually dry. What do I do? I got the answer. Pastor, you know, I used to have a big vision and a big dream, and I was motivated, and I was serving the Lord. I was excited about God. And, you know, now it's just drudgery to go to church. It's hard to read my Bible. I can take care of that. All of the above. Pastor, you know, I used to be excited. I had a good job before I lost my job, lost my retirement, lost my investments. Pastor, I used to have a business. I went into business with another brother, and they broke their word. They broke their covenant, took all my money. I'm broke. Well, I don't think I'll ever get it back. I think my best days are behind me. I can take care of that. How, Pastor? By looking and focusing not on people, not on their failures, not on their lack of faithfulness and commitment and integrity, but by fixing and focusing and feeding on the faithfulness of God. It's impossible for God to be unfaithful. It's impossible for God to fail you. Let that sink in. Think about that now. It's impossible for God to disappoint you. It's impossible for God to fail you or for God to fail me tonight. So let's look at it. Jeremiah, he was called the weeping prophet. The weeping prophet. He wrote Lamentations. Thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. What's he saying? I have no peace. I have no peace. Then he said, I forget prosperity. One translation says, I've lost all happiness. One translation says, I've lost all happiness. So notice he's in a predicament. He's in a crisis. He's feeling overwhelmed. He's feeling out of touch. He's feeling God's distant. He's wondering, does God care? He's asking himself, is even God interested? Has God left me? Does God care for me? Is God really for me? You know, why is all this happening? I'm unhappy and I have no peace. Goes on, lists this. And I said, my strength. I used to have excitement, motivated, inspired, on fire, sold out. Now I don't have enough strength to even get up and want to go to church. I have no strength, and my hope, my imagination, my vision, my dream, my future, it's foggy. I don't see it anymore. I can't see myself with it. I can't see myself doing it. I can't see myself having it. I can't see it coming to pass. It's dead. The vision is dead. The dream is dead. It'll never happen. All right? And then he goes on, verse 19. Remembering my affliction. See, he's negative. All he's talking about is what's wrong. He's cynical, sarcastic. He's hopeless. He's negative. He's complaining. He's blaming. He's murmuring. And my misery and the wormwood and the gall. Next verse, verse 20. My soul hath them still in remembrance, and it's humbling me. Next verse. Then I recall to my mind. Please don't miss that. Everything happens and starts in the mind. Everything happens and starts with our thought life. It starts with a thought. It becomes a desire. It starts with a thought. It becomes a desire, eventually a dream. It starts with a thought. It moves to an imagination. It moves to a stronghold. Everything starts with a thought. As we think, so goes our life. As we think, so goes our life. So notice, for you and I, for things to shift and to change, our thinking has to change. Our thinking has to change. For you and I to go to a new level, it takes new thinking. So he said, I recall this. I begin to recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. What did you recall to your mind? What did you start thinking about? Where did you shift your focus from them to him? From unfailing, faltering, faithless, unfaithful people and circumstances to what? The faithfulness of God. Everything shifted when he got his eyes off his circumstances, his emotions, himself, other people, and he got his eyes on an attribute of God, the faithfulness of God. So bottom line, what am I saying? My joy tonight is connected to my revelation of the faithfulness of God. My dream, my goals, my future is connected. My happiness, my peace, how I sleep at night, how I think about my family, my health, my kids, my grandkids, my job, my career, my finances, how I think about all that is connected to my revelation of the faithfulness of God. That's huge, isn't it? Yeah. So I recall to my mind, now I have hope. Verse 22. It is our Lord's mercies, capital letters, Lord. So looking at the attributes of our Lord's mercies, that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not, unfailing God. They are new, his mercy is new every morning, and great is his faithfulness. Great is his faithfulness. Great is his faithfulness. Great is his faithfulness. The more we get a revelation by recalling and remembering the faithfulness of God. And here we are, church family. We're celebrating 34 years of the faithfulness of God at Church on the Rock, St. Peter's, Missouri. Here we are, recalling, remembering, showing you stories on our social media, our website, and all of our services. We're highlighting not our faithfulness, we're highlighting his faithfulness. Because as much as I want to be faithful, I failed God. I've missed it. I've come short. Somebody give God a big hand clap. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right? So notice that everything shifted. Everything shifted. He said, I got back my hope. I got back all those things. When what? When I begin to reflect and remember. Say it with me. There's power in remembering God's faithfulness. Whatever you're going through today, whatever you're going through. Now, go to Ecclesiastes with me. Sure do love y'all. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 through 11. This is powerful. Now, let's see how this works. Okay, the faithfulness of God. How do I put it to work? How does it make a difference? Look what he says. To everything, there is a season. All of us are in different seasons tonight. Just like I told you about Kim and I, going to have an empty nest. Wow, boy, that's going to be new to us in just a couple of weeks. We're so excited for Stephen and Jessica. We're so excited what God is doing. It's a new season, all right? And there's a time to every purpose under heaven. So notice words season, time, and purpose. So you and I, our life is full of seasons, right? Our life is full of seasons. And right now, in this dispensation, you know, we run through and by time. But for every time and season in our life, God has a purpose. For whatever you're in tonight, in this time and the season you're going through, God has a purpose. Now, the bad things that are happening aren't coming from God, but see God in it. The bad things that are happening aren't sent from God because God's a good God and the devil's a bad devil. The devil sends those things to steal, kill, and destroy. But see God in this time, in this season, that God will bring purpose out of it. Where the devil meant to destroy us, God will develop us and it will move us towards our destiny. You see, God's interested in our character tonight more than our comfort. Because you can't take your car, you can't take your portfolio or your house to heaven, but you will take your character. You can't take your car, you can't take your fishing pole, your shotgun, your golf club, your portfolio, you can't take your career or your car, but you can take your character to heaven. So notice there's a season, a time, and a purpose. And then look at the next verse. Verse 2. Now, he's going to list 14. Everyone say 14. I got just a couple of minutes. Y'all still with me, church? He's going to list 14 things. Now, these 14 things are opposites. Everyone say opposites. These 14 things are opposites. And you know, our life is full of opposites. Yeah, you know, we have good days and bad days. We have days that we feel like getting up and days that we don't. You know, even my dog, y'all know my Dutch shepherd that I have. You heard me talk about her, Princess Anna. She's my little duchess. She's from the Netherlands. And, you know, Princess Anna, I've noticed, you know, every morning, you know, but there's some mornings, you know, I go out, I get put the coffee on, I put the Ezekiel toast in the toaster, and I got the oat milk going, and when all that's going, I go get her, and I take her outside, and I'll go for a walk, I'll let her run, and you know what, some mornings she gets up and about knocks me over, like the Flintstones. Y'all remember Fred Flintstone and Dino, the dinosaur dog? And Dino, remember how Dino would welcome Fred every night from work and run out to the car and knock him over? Well, that's kind of like Princess Anna. There's some mornings she'll jump out of her kennel and then she'll about knock me over. She's so excited. It's a good day. And then there are some days she gets out of her kennel and she stretches and she yawns and she moves slower. Even she, as my dog, has good days and bad days. Same way with you and I. Life is full of opposites. We have to know how to deal with the opposites and then train our children and our children's children how to deal with the opposites of life. Some seasons are better than others. Some seasons, there's less pressure than others. Some seasons, there's less hits than others. Some seasons are in the natural, have more things to rejoice over outwardly than others. Some seasons have more pressure than other seasons. How do you get through the opposites of life? Answer, this is the open book test. Focusing on, feeding on the faithfulness of God. Let's look at it. Opposites. Time to be born. Time to die. Worship team's coming out. Time to plant. Time to pluck up. Time that which was planted. Next verse. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up. Next verse, time to weep. Look at the opposites. Time to laugh, time to mourn, a time to dance. Next verse, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather the stones, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. Next verse, a time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, time to cast away. Everyone say opposites. Life is full of opposites. How do we bounce back from opposites? How do we be unshakable in a shaking world? How do we be steadfast in a world that's topsy-turvy, helter-skelter? How do we stay stable, on track, in? How do we do that? By focusing on and feeding. How have I stayed here for 34 years? And bless God, I'm excited about the next 30. How do I do that? By looking at, focusing on, I serve an unfailing God. I serve a God who is faithful. So it goes on to say, a time to rend, time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak. Next verse, time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, a time of peace. Next verse, what profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? Next verse. I've seen travail, which God has given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. Verse 11. He has made everything beautiful. Wasn't there a song like that? He's made everything beautiful. Oh my goodness. Folks, if we'll just give our time, I sure do love you. If we'll just give him our seasons. I was just talking to one of our team members and how that part of their family has to go in. One of their family members has to go in for surgery for a brain tumor. And we were agreeing. We're in agreement. This is going to dissolve in Jesus' name. And they won't even have to have the surgery. Well, that's not a fun time. I've been through that. I've been through that in my own family. But I have to understand that whatever season I'm in, whatever time it is, that God's going to have purpose in it. And that if I'll give it to God and I'll look at his attribute of faithfulness, you know what he'll do? He'll make the highs and the lows beautiful. He'll make the highs and the lows beautiful. He'll take the highs and the lows, the opposites of my life, the opposites and seasons in your seasons, and he'll turn them around for your good. And to further his purpose, like our mission statement at our church. You know, I encourage you every Sunday morning, we have our Growth Track classes, and Growth Track 101 is where I share the values and the vision and the mission. You know, our mission in Growth Track 101, you'll find out, I talk about, and I say it all the time, is to lead people to a God who's for them and help them discover his what purpose for their life. I have to understand the highs and the lows of life, the opposites of life. There's no two days the same. There's no two winters, no two falls, no two summers the same. No 2 years the same. But in the midst of life, if I'll constantly be building my life on the attribute of the faithfulness of God and give him every season and time and purpose in my life, he'll turn it around and make it beautiful.